Luke chapter 8, give you a second to get there. Went to the ball game last night. We had a took a group from the church. We went down to the Salem Red Sox faith night down there last night. So the Christian groups got a discount. I think it cost us $6 a ticket. We had 15 of us went down there. And man, couldn't have been a better night for a ball game. I mean, boy, it didn't rain and it cooled off. Man, actually, by the time it was over, at the end there, it was a little bit cool. Sherry put her coat on, a jacket on that she brought along there. But boy, it was great. Saw some other folks we know, I saw another pastor I know, some Christian folks, some of the people from that go to Bible camp with us from Up Faith Missionary, saw them, and just a good night, and enjoyed it. Got back home about 10:30. Actually got a little bonus. The night before, the game got rained out, and so they had the makeup game. When we got there, it was already going on. We got there about fourth inning, something like that, so we got to see the end of that game, and then we saw the next game too. So if you've never been there, say that's a nice stadium, real nice and clean. Get parked and go in there. You can walk around. There's room to get around. Real enjoyable. Got to see some home runs, man. They were knocking some out of the park last night. William there, he got a foul ball, come sailing down in the food area. We were down there, had to run. I told William, I said, go get that ball, man. He took off. All these adults were running, but William had to jump on him because he got started first. And he got the ball, so we had a good time. And appreciate everybody was able to go along and might do that again in the future. I don't think it's too expensive, even when the regular night. I think just $8.50 for a ticket. So that's pretty good entertainment, especially when it cools off. Well, I'm sorry that that person didn't remember to get down here when we was going to leave. Yeah. Well, you didn't get to go. All right. In Luke chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible said, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning and our ability to be here today. And I pray that you meet with us, Lord, to speak to our hearts, move upon us, and Lord, search every heart and have every man search his own heart. Lord, help us to understand, hear and understand, Lord, and you know every need we have. And Lord, convict us where conviction needs be. Lord, help us to be in a good reunion or fellowship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I titled it, Can You Hear Me Now? And I'll explain that in just a second. It starts off, it says in verse 1 that it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every... in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together there and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. So a lot of large crowds often came forth to hear Jesus preach. And there was all kind of different people. I mean, they had a lot of different backgrounds, different education, different social status, different incomes, different education levels, probably different positions in society. And everybody had, their problems. We all got problems, right? So they all had their own kinds of problems, just agendas. They all had their own different worries, different cares about. And, probably had different motivations. Why would a large crowd go out to see Jesus out preaching, away from town, wherever he might be? At times he went away out of the town to preach. What were their motivations? And I'd say no doubt the motivations were as varied as the different amount or different types of people happened to be in the crowd. And I would say just like us today, you know, here we are, we're a group of people, a crowd of people we are. We're all here. We're going to hear what the Word of God says to us this morning, speaks to us somehow. And you got your own set of problems, your own set of cares. You got different education, different background, different jobs. Different ages, everything going on like that. And the same thing, what's your motivation for being here today? Hopefully we're on the same page, but there might be some different things and reasons that we may be here. The parables that Jesus taught describes four different responses that people had to the same message. The same message, but there was different responses to that message. And that happens too. In preaching anywhere, you can listen to it on the radio, read your Bible, hear preaching in a church. There may be different responses to that message. I remember when I first got saved, and we had some people that lived kind of through the woods there out behind our house a little bit, and they were not saved. They were lost and had a little girl, and I guess Danielle was real small then, and the neighbors, the Cooks, they had a little girl over there, and I believe her name was Amanda, we invited them to come to church, and they said, okay, hey, we'll come to church. And we went there, and I don't know what the pastor's going to preach from week to week, just like you don't know. And I was hoping, boy, my pastor was a fiery kind of guy, kind of short, but man, he every now and then he'd get all jacked up and down, jump up in the air, foot kicking, and he'd get fired up. And I thought, man, I hope he's got a good one today. He had a good message, man. He preached. I don't remember what it was, but it was good. It was years ago. He preached, man. And I mean, you're sitting there when you invite somebody, you're kind of sitting there thinking, you're looking over there thinking, boy, you're kind of like craning around to see. I hope they're getting it. Maybe they're really getting something out of this, And I thought, man, he did good. And I thought, phew. So we get out, outside after church was over. We went outside and I said, well, what'd you think of that? The guy, the husband said, I didn't get nothing out of it. I didn't get nothing out of it. And I thought, man, you didn't? Nah, I didn't get nothing out of it. They never did come back. And I don't know, went down the wrong road in life as adults they did. But, I was thinking, man, I got something out of it. I mean, I was trying to listen to it from the perspective of a lost person. I would have got something out of that. I remember preaching years ago, preaching here myself, and preached a message one Sunday. It was kind of a deeper, you had to do some thinking on it. It was kind of deep and probably could have done a better job, no doubt. But I got a couple compliments on it. A couple people said, man, that's a really good message. And this one lady came out and said, boy, she said, you really laid an egg today, didn't you? Pump you up, make you feel good. I said, you really laid an egg today. She goes, I didn't understand. I didn't get nothing out of that. And I was like, same message, the same message, but different response to that same message. So you just never know how it's going to go. So we see four different responses in our text, and I'm going to go over those. But only one of the responses impacted the hearer in a positive in a lasting way. Only one response to that, what everybody hearing the same message impacted the hearer in a positive way. I think when you look at the four ways, I think everybody here today, every time a message preached, whether I'm doing it or somebody else, you're going to respond in one of the same four ways that we see in the text. You'll respond the same, one of the same four ways in the way that we see in the text. And so Jesus said in verse 8, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you married couples understand this, and even if you're a parent, you understand this, that hearing and listening, or listening and hearing, however you want to go through it, is not the same thing, right? I mean, sometimes there's a lot of yapping goes on, but somebody's really, you know, it's in one ear and out the other. You know, we're hearing, but we're not listening to what gets said. We understand that, right? But Jesus, when there's a few times in the Bible that he says that, he says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And what that means is what he's about to say or what he's saying is a real important thing. It's really important. He wants to stress this. I want you to get this. If you got ears to hear what is going to be said in this message. That's what he's trying to tell us right there. And I was sharing this with the Sunday school class this morning. I said, y'all going to hear it again. Because this is what I wonder about with Christians everywhere. You know, when we come to church, when you come to church this morning, okay, we're here, we've got through the singing, we've aggravated, fought with the projectors and got the words up, we've done all that, you know. But when we come, what are you looking for? You know, think about that. I want you to think now, because, you know, we can get like robots like nobody's business. I mean, man, you can just get in a crowd and man, you're just going, where are you going? I don't know, you know, but I'm going with everybody else. We get in, we come in like a robot. We get out of the car, probably park in the same spot, sit in the same spot, do the same thing, up, down, offering, you know, the message out the door. We can get like that. And we get to where we're not really, you know, if it's like the old, if you're not looking for something, you're probably not going to find it. Right? If you're not looking for it, you're not going to find it. So I think sometimes we got to get thinking like this, when we got to be prepared here. And I'll show you later on in one of the hearts. What are you expecting to hear right now? Are you expecting to hear from God? Is God, you know, are you really looking? And I think you have to. The man that I was talking about, and there's other people like that that have been in service, when he said, well, you know, I just didn't get nothing out of it. What were you looking to get out of it? I mean, there's got to be something. There's got to be one thing. It's the Word of God, right? It may not be nothing I say other than reading the text, but there's got to be something in there for us, you know? And so what I think we have to do as Christians, this will help you, is you got to get in here, come and think, you know what? What is God going to say to me today? And then not only what does God say to me, how am I going to apply that to my life? We can hear it all day long, but if we don't do it, we were talking there in Sunday school class about following Jesus. Jesus said to Matthew and said, follow me. He was sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector. He said, follow me. You know, he left that. He got up and followed Jesus, right? But, I mean, he could have sat there all day and said, you know what? I believe following Jesus would be a good idea. I believe it'll be a good thing. I believe it'll help me. I believe it'll all be right. And Jesus is a good man. And I believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe I can be. I mean, he can believe it all. But if he just sits there and believes it and doesn't follow him, you know, what good, you know, nothing, you know. So a lot of times we just take in, we hear it, you believe everything that's said, you believe it's true, you believe it can apply to your life, but you don't act on what you hear. So what does God have to say to us today? That's what I want you to listen to. Jesus said that. And he gave this parable. The sower in the parable is actually Jesus himself or his servants, us today that have the Word of God. Sowing seed, and the seed is God's word. And the soil represents the hearts of the hearers. It represents the hearts. That's the different types of soil. See, because the word of God's got to get into your heart. It can't be just in your head. It's got to be in your heart. Amen? It's got to be there. And so he says the very first one we look at, we see there was some hard hearts. It says, sower went to sow his seed, and he sowed some fell by the wayside in verse 5, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And in one of the other texts, one of the other gospels that talks about this account, it says that the fowls immediately came. It was something that happened immediately. I actually wrote that down in my Bible there just to remind me of that. And that is represented. So this hard heart in the parable is represented by wayside, what's called wayside soil. Now, in these parables, right, in this parable of the soils, the different types of heart, it also represents the enemies that we have, the major enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We know that that's the enemy we fight. We fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they show up in each one of these parables and are also represented by different types of people in the Bible. In the wayside soil, the enemy is the devil. That bird, the fowls that fly down and devour that seed immediately is the devil himself. And the enemy, of course, is the heart. Of the heart is the devil, and he immediately attacks. He's represented in scriptures in Jesus' day would have been the Pharisees who immediately attacked Jesus right away. Were listening to his words with already thinking about not believing those words. Didn't believe it when it was actually being spoken. And there's a lot of people in the world like that. They're listening to the word, but they're not believing it even as it's coming out of the preacher's mouth. And it says that the fowls of the air came. That, of course, we know the devil, but he's got other things working for him, tools that he uses. And it says immediately devoured it. Now, the way it works in the world today, what devours the Word of God today is the philosophy of this world. It's the wisdom of this world. You know, man's thinking. I know that's what the Word of God says, but... And then we add something else onto that. You know, God doesn't mean that for today. He was talking about way back then. That doesn't apply to me. The Word of God's subjective. Types of philosophy like that, that it's not absolute truth, you know, today. And so we've got a philosophy out there in the world that we're dealing with. It's like the thought that sin... what's right and what's wrong is a very fluid thing in society. Not in the Word of God, but in society. What's right and wrong? You know, what things that used to be sin when we were young is no longer sin today. You know, so things that are accepted now, even practiced, even you're talked bad about, if you talk bad about those things today, those types of sins, that all changes, you know. So what happens is it's that philosophy. It permeates the church. I've seen it get in young people's minds. That grew up in a church or this church or churches like this where they were taught one thing, but they got out here in the world and they got in a secular school and they got out here running around with their friends. And the next thing you know, they started believing what their friends were telling them instead of believing what the Word of God says. That's what attacks that heart right there. And because it's not a real salvation, listen, they heard the word, they weren't saved, they got the thought, but what happened was Satan attacked and that philosophy of the world came and just snatched that Word of God away before it ever got planted, ever got sunk in to their mind. That's a picture of that wayside heart, that soil there. It's a hard heart. It's a hard heart. How does the wayside, now you guys that are farmers, do me a favor, Larry. I got these little fetishes. It drives me nuts. Pull them blinds out right there so they're not all jammed up in there in that window. I just can't preach with that like that. Bugs me to no end, man. Just pull the string. Pull one of the string. No. Pull the middle string in the middle. Pull it to you. Pull it. There you go, man. You got trained today. No extra charge. You get that with the preaching. It's just how you fix the blinds when somebody crashes into them. It just distracts me to no end. My mama was a neatnik, buddy. I see she rubbed off on me. But we live in a farming community, and y'all got a lot of you got gardens out there, right? You got that garden sitting out, and you've got you plow it up in the spring and then you plant whatever you're going to plant, and you till it and do this and that and the other thing. But the wayside soil is real hard soil. It gets all packed down, and you know, you think about it, well, how does it get packed down? Well, if you got a garden and you're real slick about it, you know, you just don't trample right down through the middle of the garden, right? You go around the outside edge all the time. And you might have a path or two down the center. Like if you got a really big field, you got to go up and down it. And how the soil gets all packed down is you walk on it all the time, right? You walk in, you walk out, you walk in, you walk out. That soil gets packed down. And guess what? You plant a seed down there, it won't grow, will it? Huh? It don't grow. I mean, and so it just gets packed down. Now, if this represents our hearts, what we got to think about is who and what we let walk on the heart. Huh? You know, see, whatever goes in here gets in here. It doesn't matter. You can see something accidentally that you shouldn't see. You just can't get it out. You know, it's a photo that goes to our mind and heart. We can't get it out. Now, you can just try to get away from it as fast as you can. But when it gets in here, it goes in here. And I tell you what, it scars you up. I'm going to tell you what, you think, well, you know what, I'm going to go out and I can commit sin and it isn't affecting anybody but me. Wrong. It affects other people, but I'm going to tell you, it affects you in another way. Because what you think is, well, you know, that's okay. I'll just go ask Jesus to forgive me, and he will. You can come down and ask for forgiveness and all that, but guess what? That sin scarred your heart. Scarred your heart. And you know what? If you ever seen scar on top of scar on top of scar, man, that, guess what? That it gets, skin will even get it. It's not the same. It's just not pliable. It's just hard. A scar can be a hard thing, scar tissue. That's what happens to our hearts. We let stuff in our mind. We let it in our eye. We let it in our mind, and it gets to a heart. And it ends up scarring. That old heart gets packed down. And what happens is the Word of God can't penetrate that heart any longer. And so, it pictures the broad way. The Bible talks about the broad way and the narrow way. And the broad way leads to destruction. And there's a lot of people going down the broad way. And they packed that path down, brother, to where there's nothing. The Word of God won't get through it. You ever talk to somebody who won't listen to you? They won't listen to the Word of God? And so we got to be careful what we allow to walk on our heart. I remember, man, I tell you about them fowls of the air sneaking in there. They tell you, this is what they say. I don't know, you know, listen to the philosophy of the world. I guess it's true. When you plant grass seed, they say a real good time to plant grass seed is right before a snowstorm comes in the winter. You go out there and then the snow gets on it and it kind of melts down the path. There's a problem with it. You know, because they say, well, the snow's going to come and such and such. So you go get your seed and throw it out. I did that one time. The snowstorm was supposed to be coming. I thought, all right, I'll go out there and throw my seed down. Every bird in Botetourt County came to my yard, ate them seeds. I don't think any grass came up in that. They ate all them seeds. They was all out there, just flocks of them. I was out there yelling out the window. I was doing the Dennis Niemiecki, man. Shoot, shoot. I was trying to shoo the birds away to get them out there. To say, come on, snow, start. You know, you got to go out there about the time it starts falling or else the bird, because it's wintertime, right? They don't have any food to eat. And that's what happens. Then we see a shallow heart, the second one. And that's represented in the text by this rocky soil. In verse 6, some fell on a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Y'all know about that. Sometimes there's some rocky places. I know, man, out there on Buffalo Road, and that there's some places where the soil's not very deep on top of the rock. And the enemy of this rock, remember, there was the world of the flesh and the devil. The enemy of this heart right here is the flesh. It's represented by people who accept the facts of the Word, but don't receive it in their heart. See, when Jesus explained it, look in verse 13, he said, they on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root for which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. See, there's people there, they didn't have a problem with the Word of God. It's talking about people like this that you go and you say, listen, you tell them, you share with them the news about Jesus Christ, and they say, man, that is good news. Man, that is the best thing I've ever heard. I just, that is great. And they're all excited about it. It's the emotional hearer. Some people get all jacked up on emotion. And then what happens is, but you know what? Time passes. You know how we are. We get in a rut doing anything. And time goes by. And then trials come along in life. It says when the sun come up. It says when the sun came up, that since there wasn't any deep roots, the sun comes up and scorched the leaves. Well, the sun there pictures trials. In life. I mean, what happens to us? Listen, just because you get saved doesn't mean you're going to be exempt from having trials in your life. There can be some sicknesses and diseases and relationship issues and job problems and all kind of things can happen just because you're saved. And it says the sun comes up, and guess what? They shrivel up because they don't have any real roots. See, there's a lot of people, like I said in the first one, there's a lot of people that believe the Bible to be true. They believe it's the Word of God. They don't have a problem with the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the resurrection from the dead. They don't have a problem with that, heaven and hell. They don't have a problem with it. They believe it. And they even are excited about the Word of God. But they don't take it into their heart to where it's an application in their everyday life. It's here and only, not in a heart. And so it's very shallow. It's a shallow thing. It's not a very deep thinking. They're the kind of people like, they get excited about the emotional aspects of maybe Christianity. Boy, you get them at a gospel concert of any type, whatever your flavor you like, you know. They get at a gospel concert. Boy, they like that. You get the dinners, man, they like that. They like going to the Salem Red Sox game with the church group. They like that. They like going on the church trip. They like joining up on the church ball team. They like all those type things right there, but those are just superficial extracurricular things of the church. It's not really having a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what the problem is. I see this over the years. There's so many people that don't have a deep personal relationship with Christ. And what happens is then as time wears on, it doesn't even really have to be a crisis in your life. It's just the day-to-day living. Man, I've been saved. Coming up on August the 20th, I've been saved 30 years, man. 30 years, boy. Listen, how's it been during the 30 years? I've walked through some dry places. I've walked through some I've walked through some lonely places. I've walked through some dry places. I walked through some, you know, and it was my fault, by the way. I walked through places where my walk with the Lord wasn't all that close. I've walked with wondering. I've questioned my own salvation. I've had times in that, but you know what? I kept with it. I kept in church. I kept in the Word of God. And it was, you know, to make sure that it was a real thing in my life. You know, it got a little bit deeper, I can only elevate you up to a certain place once a week if I get you up there that far. I mean, I can only do so much for you. Listen, we can get the smoke and the mirrors and the band, and boy, we can make you feel good, and how you doing, brother, and you're the greatest and all that. But you got to go out of here on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, and you got to go Monday through, some of you Monday through Sunday or Monday through Wednesday. You got to go all week in the real world out there. Huh? We're not going to have the band playing. We're not going to have all the flashy lights. We're not going to have all the hey brothers and hugs and kisses and all that. We're not going to have it all week. If it's not a real relationship, you're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. It's got to be a little bit deeper with that. And so we see when the fun ends and time goes by, they shrivel up and they fade and fall out. Jesus, listen, this is what Jesus said. He said, listen, we talked about two hearts. Those hearts that are so packed down that they hear the word, it falls on the heart, but the devil just takes it right away like that. I mean, the devil gets it like that. People believe a lie before they believe the truth. And then you got this heart right here. The people said they received it with joy. They liked it. They liked it. But it didn't go any deeper than on the surface right there. You know what? God uses persecution of the church to weed out the fakes. You think, well, why does the church? You look at the history of the church, you ever study that? Church has gone through some pretty persecuting times, still does in other places of the world. We're persecuted to some degree in the United States, but nothing like in other places. And throughout the history, it's been persecuted. You know, the church really grew. The church grew like mad during persecution. You know why? Because there wasn't nothing in there but real people. Real Christians. Wasn't nothing there but real Christians. Because persecution does two things. It weeds out the fakes. They can't stand the heat. And it makes the roots of the real Christians go deeper. Makes the roots go deeper. Trials and persecutions always with the genuine Christian makes those roots get down deeper. Then there's a third heart, the preoccupied heart. And it said there that some fell among thorns and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out. That's what it says in verse 7. And it says in verse 14, the definition or explanation, that which fell among thorns today, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. There's a couple people in the Bible that this represents very well. Remember that rich young ruler? He said, what do I got to do to have eternal life? Jesus wasn't telling us that he could buy his way into heaven. He just said, hey, you know, go sell what you got, follow me. He said, man, he went away sorrowful. He's really preoccupied. That rich man and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16, rich man that didn't have no time to help anybody out. He was so busy with his own things. You know, the enemy of this is the word. We had the flesh, we had the devil. The enemy is the world. This enemy right here of this heart. It's a crowded heart. It's a heart that tries to add everything, add the word of God or add Jesus Christ to an already crowded, busy life. It's just one more thing. There are some people out there, they join up every kind of club that there is. I mean, if you got a club, they belong to this club, that club, this club, that club. You know, every night of the week, they got a club meeting somewhere. They get in that, it doesn't matter what it is, and you talk to them about church. Yeah, man, I'm going to come to church. Just add one more thing to their life. They haven't had a thought about repentance and those things. It said that there was weeds. It talks about it's thorns, and they fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up, or weeds sprang up, however you want to look at that, and choked it out. That means that there's no repentance. The weeds are still there. And probably never had a thought, one iota, about repentance. Let me ask you this, when you got saved, did you ever really think about repentance? Of some, you know, there's some things that needed to be repented of. Did you think about that? Or did you just think, hey, I'm just going to add Jesus? No, that's not how it works. That's the problem right here. He said it's a problem. He said, you know what? These are people that are devoted to any and everything but Jesus. And it said in verse 7, notice it says that it was the Word. It's talking about the seed, which is the Word. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, verse 7, some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprang up with it and choked it. It was choking out the words. It means this, that there's too many different kinds of seeds planted in that heart. You know, you can't plant every single kind of seed in one place and have anything grow. None of it'll grow good, right? And usually, you know how it is when we've been having kind of a drought, right? We've been trying to get everything. The weeds grew great. I don't understand it. You can't get the grass to grow, but the weeds grew good. And I'm going to tell you what, you plant stuff in your heart that's not supposed to be there, and you try to plant the Word of God in there too, guess what's going to grow the most? It's going to be the weeds, the stuff that shouldn't grow. That stuff will grow more than the Word of God. The Word of God gets choked out. And it pictures a lot of people in the world today they've got just too much going on in their heart. There's probably somebody right here today. I don't know that. I'm just saying, I could probably say it anywhere. That some right now, you can't listen, you can't understand what I'm saying. You ain't heard half of what I'm telling you right now because you got your mind thinking about 50 other things that's going on in your life. What's going to go on after church? What are you going to eat for dinner? Where are you going? What are you going to do with the kids? What are you going to do with the grandkids? What do I got to do tomorrow when I go to work? What am I going to do? You hadn't had time to sit and listen to the Word of God. Get in that heart right there. You know, there's a lot of people like that. It's just everywhere. Minds all drifting off, man. Eyeballs shut. I mean, everybody's wobbling around like bobblehead dolls. They don't know. I mean, how do you know that? Because I've been there. The preacher's up there preaching, his mouth flapping for 15 minutes. Man, I'm sitting there looking out the window. You know, looking, what's he talking about? I don't know. What text? You know, look at the wife. Where are we at in the Bible? Don't even know because my mind is off on something else, thinking about 20 other things. I got the unique ability to read the Bible and think about something else at the same time. Huh? I've gone down through whole chapters and have to just stop and say, wait a minute, I don't even know what I read. Got to go back and look at it. Get distracted. Too many things going on in there. And then we get to this last heart right here. It's the prepared heart. And that represents good soil. And it's represented by those who hear and receive and understand the Word. And the reason that you know that, it says that it produced good for in verse 15, it said, but that on good ground they are they which in an honest good heart and good heart, having heard the Word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. See, here's the evidence. You plant a seed in the ground, you plant it in pretty good soil, you plant it and you water it. How do you know that seed right there is alive? Comes up. If you planted a peach seed, how do you know it's a peach tree? Peaches on it. If no peaches come on it, something wrong, right? That's how you know. And this is what, how do we know, how do we know, and how does God know? Now, God knows our heart, but how do we know that the Word of God has been planted on good soil as far as a good heart, a ready heart, a prepared heart? How do you know? Going to be spiritual life, there's going to be growth. And it said different amounts. Not everybody's the same, but a different amount. There's going to be something. You know, you might get an old peach tree. You plant one. I plant one. I planted a tomato plant. Planted three tomato plants one time, and only got one tomato out of all three of them, and a worm ate it. But I knew that one was a tomato plant for sure. You know, but you might plant a peach tree, and I plant a peach tree, and you got bushels and bushels of peaches, and I just got a handful of peaches off it. But you know what? They both still peach trees. They're both peach trees. One of them sorrier than the other. In the same way in the Christian life. Some people are producing some fruit, right? And some more than others. And maybe God gives those people more things to do, that type thing right there. But you take soil. Listen, let's think about dirt. I didn't sit down and analyze this a long way. I'm sure there's some other things there. But what is soil, dirt? What is dirt good for if it don't have seeds in it, planted in it? Basically, you can build your house on it. I understand. We could probably go all day on that. But soil without seeds, generally speaking, and in context with what I'm trying to tell you, is pretty much useless soil, right? It's just dirt. But listen to this. Seeds without soil are fruitless. The Word of God. See, God's got His Word. Listen, that's good. It's powerful. It's true. It's never going to change. But where God wants to see the growth is when he plants it in our hearts. That's where the growth comes from. He plants it in our hearts. And so the fruit is produced. What's the fruit? Well, what, you know, in a Christian sense, what's fruit? Well, holiness, Christian character, good works, witnessing, charity, which is love. How about praise for God, love, joy, patience? The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, those things. That's what comes out when the seed, when the Word of God's planted on good soil. Well, you know, when you get ready to plant in the spring, this has probably been a good springtime message. How do you get the soil ready? Well, you know, I think the way it goes, depending on how far gone everything is, you're getting ready to plant on. But the first thing you got to do is you got to kill the weeds, right? If you're just starting off with a plain old field, you got to mow her down somewhat, and then you got to kill the weeds, and then you got to put lime down and put some fertilizer down, and then you got to plow it up, right? You got to take a plow and you got to break up all that old hard ground. There's some hard soil in there. It's got to get broken up. And so once you've plowed and fertilized and watered it, and it's the same thing with the heart. It's the same, you know, we got to have a prepared heart. I was telling the church on Wednesday night, listen, about worshiping. This is supposed to be the climax of our week as Christians. Sunday. This is the climax of it. It's not like, okay, I'm come dragging down here at low point here at the low water mark, and I'm just hoping that Pastor Boone's got a message good enough to at least drag me up halfway before I get out of here on Sunday. That's not supposed to be how it is. How it's supposed to be is that we got a relationship with Christ, and we've been daily talking with Him and walking with Him and praising Him and reading His Word. This is how you get your heart prepared, by the way. And you get your heart prepared, and then what happens? By the time you get here, you're up to here already. And boy, we come into church, man, we are praising God. We don't care whether the projector works or not. We're going to sing songs. We're going to be excited about, we're going to be praising God. Listen, it's to take us up over the top. You can't expect anybody, any church or any preacher or any program or anything to drag you up to a place that you're supposed to be at already when you get here. What'd you do to prepare your heart today? Kick the dog? Beat the wife or beat the wife and kicked it on. No. What'd you do? How did you prepare? Did you read the Word of God today? Did you listen to some inspiring Christian music? Did you maybe spend some time in prayer, praising God, maybe some praise? You got to watch your prayer life. Sometimes all our prayer life consists of is a complaint list to God. Huh? How about some praise, you know? And praising God. Boy, what a difference it would make. Huh? It'll make a difference. Yeah. And I'm asking you a rhetorical question. I noticed nobody jumped on that answer right there to answer, and I don't want you to out loud. I just want to ask you, you know, try it. See if you're not, if you don't get your heart ready. Because see, if you come here with that old hard heart, guess what? The seed just going to go under and something going to snatch it away. Huh? It gets on that little rocky soil. If it's not really planted, it's just going to maybe, oh, that's really good. But then by the time you get out to the car right there, it's gone. Huh? Or if you come in here with all the cares of this world, it's already choking everything out. You can't get nothing to grow. Huh? Nothing's going to happen. The only way that anything's going to happen is if this heart is prepared for the Word, the seed, the Word of God. You even got to prepare it before you read the Word yourself. If it goes into your heart that way, huh, then something's going to happen. You got some good soil. And so what we have to do, you know, we got to plow. There's some other verses in the Bible I could have used, but I didn't. But it talks about breaking up that fallow ground, breaking up that hard heart. And this is how you do it. The first thing is you just get honest. Remember, look what it said right here. Let me read it to you. I got it underlined in verse 15 of our text. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest underline and good heart underline, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. See, first thing you got to do is you got to get honest with yourself and say, man, you know, I got some needs. And I'm not talking about hangnails and all that. I'm talking about I got some spiritual needs. And then you get honest with God and you confess. That's repentance. To put it in agricultural terminology, that's weeding out the flower bed. It's weeding, getting the weeds out. Huh? Confess and repent. See, you get ready there. You start getting some stuff out of your life right there. Getting that out of there. Getting that all out of the garden. And so you confess. You get honest with God. And then if you forgive, if you're holding grudges, carrying burdens around. Why carry a grudge around? and holding unforgiveness, you forgive whoever needs to be forgiven, and sometimes it even means you got to forgive yourself. And then you make amends where you can. If there's somebody you need to talk to, you do that. And I'll tell you something about plowing. Plowing in the old heart can be a painful thing. Yeah, it can be painful. There's some stuff, you know, having to confess and having to make amends, and that can hurt. It can be hurtful. Hurts your pride, if nothing else. It can be a painful thing, but plow, man. Get that old hard heart plowed up and then fertilize it and water it. And you do that by prayer and the Word of God. Prayer and the Word of God. Fertilizer and water. Fertilizer and water. Prayer and the Word of God. That's how you do it. Let me ask you this in closing. How did you receive the Word of God today? Everybody in here received it one of those four ways. One of those four ways. Let's all stand for him.